Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, I know. We give all the kids candy. We put them in uncomfortable clothes. And it's the one day of the Sunday of the year we don't have Sunday school. It's tough. I'm sorry, moms and dads. So it's Easter Sunday. And we're celebrating as we should. But out in the world, it feels like time's been stuck in Saturday's darkness for quite a while now. Holy Saturday, we call it. Though I bet it felt like anything but holy to Mary and those other disciples. Grief and darkness overshadowed everything. Saturday was a day of paralysis, doubt, and despair. When time stood still in lethal flatness. We know what that feels like. What it is to wonder how long Saturday will last or if it will ever end. We understand the Saturday of the disciples, the abandonment and anguish they felt following the crucifixion. We recognize it in all the worldly Saturdays of fear and violence since. The overwhelming heartache and hopelessness, that stunned numbness. We recognize it now when we are divided and despairing, turning on one another in a worldly Saturday of our own making. Our new the one to whom Jesus appears in the garden, she can hear him call her name. She is ready to receive the good news of God's love. Because she is the one faithful to the end, even going to the place of death. Because she persisted when no one else did, it is to her the good news is entrusted. She will proclaim it faithfully to those who did not go, to those whose courage failed them, and to those of us who were not able to be there, who fight to loosen the grip of Saturday's despair. Because Mary responds in love and faith, the world is changed forever. Dan Richardson's blessing about the moment Mary meets Jesus in the garden. You hardly imagine standing here. Everything you ever loved suddenly returned to you, looking you in the eye, and calling your name. And now you do not know how to abide this ache in the center of your chest, where a door slams shut and swings open at the same time, turning on the hinge of your aching and hopeful heart. I tell you, this moment is not a banishment from the garden. This is an invitation. Choice, a threshold, a gate. This is your life calling to you from a place you could never have dreamed. But now that you have glimpsed its edge, you cannot imagine choosing any other way. So let the tears come as anointing, as consecration, and then let them go. Let this blessing gather itself around you. Let it give you what you will need for this journey. You will not remember the words. They do not matter. All you need to remember is how it sounded when you stood in the place of death and heard the living call your name. Mary has the courage and heart both to go to the tomb and to open her eyes to new possibilities. Mary, a woman of color, a woman who would have little to no voice even now in our current culture, is the primary witness to the resurrection. She is the only consistent witness to the resurrection in all four gospel accounts. Jesus, risen from the tomb, appears first and foremost to Mary Magdalene. And because she responds in love and faith, we too have the same opportunity, the same invitation. As Richardson says in her blessing, this moment is an invitation, a choice, threshold, a gate for us. Encountering the tomb and finding it empty, we experience being overcome by something completely other, beyond our expectation or ability to comprehend, a different truth than the world can offer, which is a good thing considering the state of truth in our world currently. This is God's own truth. That's not ours to hold, grasp, control, manage, or manipulate. It is God's own, always, offered to us freely as a gift that changes everything, that changes the very nature of our existence, that changes all that is possible. A truth that makes us more, that builds up, that reconciles and redeems, that makes abundant life possible reaction to the proportions of our own understanding or dismiss it outright. And our Easter will be worldly and unresponsive, inert, and completely lifeless, empty of any real power. A day that could be any other day, really, just dressed up in good clothes and possibly proper behavior and a lot of candy. We can choose to hear this gospel and go back out the sanctuary doors and let the world mark our days, imposing its narrative and its values on our lives, knowing for certain that sooner or later, the Saturdays of the world will come. No matter how much we think we can insulate ourselves or isolate ourselves, the darkness of Saturday will come, if it ever really ended in the first place. Or we can choose to accept this invitation and engage this moment before the tomb fully and confront our fear and the voices in our head telling us, don't bother, there's got to be a body in that tomb. And we can work up our courage and look in and see what God has done. The body is not there. Jesus has risen. And with hearts broken open, hear him calling us from the garden, offering us this most amazing gift. On the other side of Saturday's grief and despair, through it, there is new life, abundant life in God's love. The first day of new life in a new world, a new way of being, a new way of living here and in the life to come. In this moment, Jesus offers us this invitation of God's love. All we have to do is let ourselves believe and be changed in this moment. What do we have to lose? Because let's be honest, what the world is offering isn't going to get us anything other than Saturday's unending darkness. God has given us another choice. The first day of the week, the first day of God's new creation, of new life, our new life, of all that is actually possible with God. As Martin Smith says, something happens on the first day of the week, powerful enough to heal every wound, to recover every waste, to break down every barrier, to unlock every prison, to forgive every transgression, to unite everything at odds. There is love enough to flood every heart, to raise everyone dead and lost. My friends, this is the first day of the week, the first day of our new life, not just a moment of celebration after which we return to the ordinary drudgery of worldly days. Accept the invitation. Let the joy and the hope, the magnitude